News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We'll say howdy to our wine audience out there. Howdy. If you're having a bubbly this morning, so are we.
That's enough for me right now.
Cheers
thank
to you.
Find me asleep on my keyboard.
No, don't even go there. We'll manage to get through this because we got to talk about the El Paso History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her topic today is about how growing grapes in the 1920s Prohibition El Paso was okay, but not for wine.
A grape is a grape until it is wine. It's October 4th, 1921, just a year after the 18th Amendment was passed, making the manufacture and consumption of any form of alcohol illegal in the U.S. An unnamed El Paso Herald reporter wrote a column on moonshiners and smugglers for the newspaper. The reporter began his column by reflecting back to an 1870s travel book about El Paso that he once read. The author of the book wrote of how amazed he was at the El Paso Valley and the many lush green vineyards there were. He described the wine made from the vineyards of El Paso as having a flavor among the finest to be had. The newspaper reporter then opined that although in recent decades the art of winemaking has not been practiced to a great extent, there are, it is said, a few old-timers who know how to make this delicately flavored wine, but their art will now have to die. For according to the laws of Prohibition, wine may not be made by growers of grapes, even for their own use. The reporter continued, the best that can be done is that any head of a household could make up to 200 gallons of grape juice, and all that was required was a permit from a Prohibition officer. But the reporter warned, it must not contain more alcohol than the legal 1.75%. More history next week. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
So you mean the grape juice had 1.75% alcohol?
Well, anytime you keep any kind of alcohol, there's a certain amount of sugars that build up. And if you let it sit fermenting long enough, you will have certain levels of alcohol.
Oh, okay.
And 1.75% is not really a lot when you look at the base today. And Ryan can tell you a lot better on that than I can.
But if you drink enough of it.
Yeah, if you drink enough of it, that little 1.75% could give you a little buzz.
All right, this is for the History Alliance you do this?
Yes, it is for the History Alliance. And we also have some other great partners. Well, first of all, let's start with the History Alliance. They've got a fantastic posting of pictures, stories, information, all in the history of El Paso. Remember in El Paso When has also got this stuff. Her and her team over there, Barbara Given Bainey's Remember in El Paso When, over 35,000.
35,000. 35,
yeah. Yes. But they do some great things. And we couldn't be all doing this. It's important everybody knows El Paso's history is what I
think. It's good stuff here. And Chief Bottle Washer there, and Administrator Barbara Given Bainey, otherwise known as BGB, she has Administrators Margaret D. Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, Jim Carlton, and Moderator Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. And I saw Barbara was just getting started on the forts around the El Paso area. Coincidentally, I was talking to Bernie, why don't we do a history of the forts around here? We should work directly with Barbara and get some information from her. Because she's probably got a good series of stuff to do there that it's been researched. Ryan Poulos, you still there? You drinking wine? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm here. I wanted to add one tidbit about Prohibition. There was a product you could get at the time. It was like a powder, and it said in big letters on it, do not add water and store for 2 weeks or you will make wine.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I wonder how many people ignored that label.
Oh, we got another. All right, we got Cut 4 coming here, Melissa. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, this is here by 1659, there were many vineyards along the Rio Grande.
Drop down to four.
Oh, I'm on to four. Excuse me. I apologize. Oh, there we go. The El Paso area had a cash crop as the Santa Fe Trail opened and people found it. El Paso brandy was also well-liked, and in 1846, Colonel Alexander Doniphan with his troops arrived in El Paso, and his army drank up all the wine here.
Oh, goodness.
Again, once the Santa Fe Trail opened up, the traders on the trail needed something to drink on those long journeys, of course, and suddenly this area became the only revenue-producing crop. The grapes became the only revenue-producing crop in Spanish New Mexico. One explorer coming through in the road at that time said, "In no other country in America can wine be found with the taste and bouquet of the wine of New Mexico, especially that produced in the large vineyards of El Paso del Norte. Its abundance is shown by its price, which is $1 per pint. 200 miles from the place where it is produced, you can still find it for sale." And while I probably question the palates of these guys on the Santa Fe Trail, they were coining a term called El Paso Brandy. Aguardiente became famous and in great demand among the traders in their wagon trains on the Santa Fe Trail. And suddenly the wines that were being produced in Santa Fe that were well-known and liked were taking second place to the wines that were coming out of the Paso del Norte region at that time. You've probably heard of Colonel Alexander Doniphan, which Doniphan Street is named after. He came through with his military expedition to New Mexico in 1846 after, I think, conquering the Santa Fe region, coming down this way. And he had a private with him named John T. Hughes, who he dubbed his historian. And he was obviously a drinker because he spent most of his time writing about the wines of this area. And we have a lot of writings of his in 1846. In our region, one of his quotes, he says that the El Paso wines are superior in richness of flavor and pleasantness of taste to anything of the kind I have ever met with in the United States. And I doubt not that they are far superior to the best wines ever produced in the Valley of the Rhine in Germany or on the sunny hills of France. The wine was selling at that time for $2 a gallon, and it was literally the principal revenue of El Paso at that time. They were producing about 200,000 gallons of wine a year in 1846 until Colonel Doniphan and his 1st Missouri Regiment arrived. And this was a pretty ragged group of non-uniformed military guys on what they assume was an R&R trip through El Paso, because they ravaged the vineyards here, took the cask of grape of wines that were being stored, drank all the wines, and I think the people were finally happy to see them go. Interestingly, Colonel Doniphan and his group wrote a suggestion back to the War Department that first thing we need to do is get rid of the local population here that's trying to grow the grapes and make the wine. They're not energetic enough, he said, and we need to bring in people who can make the wine, and he believed that they could increase wine production in this area tenfold. I'm not sure why a military commander is worried about producing tenfold amounts of wine, but he was. Same group wrote back to the War Department. Colonel Doniphan and his historian wrote back that it was time to build a canal from the Rio Grande to the Gulf of California, and he thought that it would ease the transport of wines out of this area back west and east. But the idea of a canal all the way to the Gulf of Mexico and the Gulf of California seemed they were in a drunken stupor, I think, when they wrote that one.
Somehow that makes sense. You couldn't dig a canal if you had to all the way to California.
Ryan, quick question for you. Explain to people the difference between brandy and wine.
Where's Ryan?
Ryan, hello.
A fortified.
Go ahead. Start over.
Start over
wine.
Again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
We
go gotcha. Ahead.
So brandy is produced in distilleries, much like liquors, and it's going to be kind of what's essentially a fortified wine versus your traditional wine that you would find here, like at our vineyard.
But it starts with grapes. Brandy starts with grapes.
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, also, in some of your notes, you were talking about how every time you drive on Doniphan Drive, you think of the guy or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, with those great stories, right? It's funny to think about. I drive on Doniphan every day, and just thinking about the history with wine and his men here. A little tidbit on Alexander Doniphan that folks may know or may not. He's also mainly remembered for his refusal to execute Joseph Smith mm-hmm. and Smith's followers during the 1838 Mormon War. And then he became a great leader during the Mexican War. And that's when he and his men, they marched about 5,500 miles, which was considered the longest military campaign since Alexander the Great. And that's why I'm thinking they were thirsty for some wine.
Oh, they found some, and I guess they just took it. I mean, they defeated the Mexican army out there near Vado. It was a weird skirmish from what I remember. The details are such that they remember.
That was before Christmas, right? It was Christmas Day that the Mexicans were partying just up in Vado area, and Doniphan managed to fool them because he had a smaller troops at that time than the Mexicans did, and so he had horses and such that were dragging equipment behind him, and it was making a lot of dust, so it made it appear larger of a group than it really was. But the other thing was, these Mexicans were partying like crazy on wine that day. So I'm wondering, maybe between the two groups, they may have drained the area of wine.
The other thing was, with Doniphan, he had troops who understood how to hunt in the woods. And so when they finally met the Mexicans, some of the Mexicans had bows and arrows. So that wasn't, it was a mismatch to begin with. But what the Doniphan men did, they fell down on the ground. And the Mexicans thought they killed them all.
Yeah.
No, they were just falling on the ground to take a better shot. And they blew away the Mexican army right up near the Vado, New Mexico area.
Surprise.
Weird thing. And, of course, Doniphan got the wine, but he also got the highway, Doniphan Street.
Yeah. Right by Keystone.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, go ahead and take on that next one there. You got what happened after that. Because Colonel Doniphan. There you go. Cut five.
Cut five. There we go. Okay. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, as Colonel Doniphan and his troops came through here, most of the wine production was south of the river.
There you go, Andrew.
But at any rate, in February of 1847, Colonel Doniphan's troops moved on to Chihuahua. The vineyards were somewhat restored. There was a viticultural expert out of the U.S. Patent Office who came through in 1858, a gentleman by the name of H.C. Williams. And he said that most of the vineyards were at that time in Juarez, in what is now present-day Juarez. There was not that many on the American side of the river, and for some reason the production started declining. There was basically three qualities of wine that was being produced. One was a sort of a first-quality light red wine. There was a second-quality darker wine that was called the pass wine that I talked about, and there was a third quality of wine that was basically left to the poor to drink. But when Williams described the production method, as you probably know, they used a tripod with a cow skin in it. They put the grapes in. They stomped the grapes in the cow skin. They let them ferment naturally in there. And then when the sugar had turned to alcohol, they cut a little slit in the bottom of the cow skin and took out what was apparently wine. It wasn't very good because they would add a lot of grape syrup to it to give it some flavor and maybe cover up the horrible taste that they were producing in this cow skin. But that was the method they were utilizing to make grapes at this time. One of those pouches still exists in this area. It's out at Lavinia Winery. If you go to Lavinia Winery and meet Ken Stark, who's one of my great friends, and ask him to see the pouch, he has one in the back that he's preserved that you can see. That's right. It's one at the El Paso Museum of History. That's right. So you can see them at both places.
So, Ryan, where did you guys get the wine skin that you got out there made out of a cow skin?
Well, it's actually down the road sitting at Lavinia, our good partner winery down the road. But, man, doesn't that sound delicious, wine from a cow skin?
Talk about that. There's no way to try that. I wouldn't even think about trying that.
I've never had anything like that.
Oh, God. And they also made them out of ox hides, apparently.
Yeah, so just to provide a little more detail around how they made this wine, I'll just take about 30 seconds and read a quote from H.C. Williams, who is the person who reported on it. So he said, an ox hide is formed into a pouch, which is attached to two pieces of timber and laid on two poles supported by forks planted in the ground. The grapes are gathered in a careless manner, he made sure to note that, and placed in the pouch until it is filled. They are then mashed by trampling with the feet, something a lot of people ask us about in the tasting room.
Oh, yeah.
In this condition, the mashed fruit stems and some leaves remain until fermentation takes place. An incision is then made in the lower part of the pouch through which the wine drips and is then transferred to barrels. The wine now has a flat, sourish taste. Should it be desired to make sweet wine, grape syrup made by evaporating fresh juice is added until the wine gains its desired sweetness. So they were using this grape syrup to, you know, cover up the initial flavors of the wine and make it actually drinkable.
Did the wine change flavors with whether you washed your feet or not?
You know, that's a good question. That's probably the number one question we get here in our tasting room is, do you smash the grapes with your feet?
You know what, Ryan?
I'd love to, but the FDA would not be happy about
that. You should get a barrel or whatever and put a tub out there and let people just squish them to see what it feels like, and then throw that out, obviously.
But well, Lavinia,
just
used
to try it.
Lavinia used to do that. Do you ever do any small festivals there or any parties or in the past or planning for the future when things finally get back open?
Yeah. Obviously, it's been an interesting time now, but we're a little smaller than Lavinia as far as our property, but we have our patio and picnic area, very scenic, looking at the mountains and the vineyards. We do live music from time to time. Once we can have larger gatherings again, we'll do movie nights out here. We do a lot of fun wine-themed movie events with food. We'll start doing wine classes out here again and always open to new ideas and fun things.
Hey, real quick, also, at one time, and I'm not sure if it's still the case, that people could come and buy a couple of bottles of wine, sit out back and bring their own, picnic basket. Is that still the case, or do you have to get your food for when it gets open to do that?
So just quickly, with the COVID regulations, we do have to sell you one of our food trays. We're classified as a restaurant at the moment in order to have wine on site. But you still can bring your own food in addition to that. And you can take one of our food trays to go. They're like charcuterie and some really good stuff there. So that's kind of what we're doing now. But we'll always have a food option. But we consider ourselves very friendly. People bring coolers. They bring their pets. They bring their dogs. Children are more than welcome. We like to have a good time out here.
Well, that's neat.
I don't know if I want to take my dog. She's a lush.
You have a doggy dish full of wine. That'll be interesting.
Her name's Kirby, so she's, you know, never mind.
Need to take a break here, Ryan. Thank you for being with us. Stick around. We got more to talk about because we're going to talk also about some other people came through El Paso and looked into the wine business. And if you want to ring us up, we'll still take a phone. We haven't had a phone call yet. But if you wish to be the one, we had Vince.
Yeah, we had Vince.
Vincente.
Some other
ring
people
up.
Could call in, yeah.
And throw that number out there.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
If the holidays left your bank account on injured reserve, keep listening here to get back in the game with up to 12 chances to win $1,000 every weekday. Get a grand in your hand.
UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your business is getting back to business, but things are a little different than 6 months ago. What does that mean for your customers? And when things are constantly changing, how do you know you're making the right decisions? What you need is Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon is the easy way to learn about your customers, and it's affordable for businesses of all sizes. Here's how it works. Ask a question, and Research Raccoon polls a U.S.-based group of people to find out what they think. No having to define an audience or waiting weeks for results, just data to make smarter decisions. Think of it like a gut check for your plan to re-enter the market. That way, your first move is your best move. So before you reopen your store, reach out to your customers, or introduce yourself to a new audience, talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use for less than you'd think. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. A little gut check for your big ideas.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Continuing our Saturday morning radio traditions, next week on January 16th, we're going to talk about actually mention all nine historic districts in the city of El Paso. Yay. And Bernie Sargent's coming in as our guest to explain the history of Sunset Heights, a particular district there, and what role it now plays in El Paso, how it got there, what happened to it, what kind of houses are in it. January 23rd, that's going to be a little bit unusual. We talk with author Bob Parmalee about his new book called A Bridge Apart. And it's about a Mexican Revolution-era robbery in El Paso and life on the border with Prohibition. My goodness. A Bridge Apart reveals a true story made possible by the revelation of a 50-year-old secret concerning the love story of two high school sweethearts. All of this stuff is true. He filled in the dialogue. It's a love story turned upside down by border violence during Prohibition and the Depression, ultimately involving the highest levels in the Mexican-American governments. The vivid descriptions of the fighting and wars almost put you there. I could smell the gunpowder after reading this thing. It's amazing how he paints pictures. Anyway, the second hour of that day, Melissa and I were going to review the many Mexican Revolution sites in downtown El Paso. We can do that pretty easily.
A lot of them.
January 30th, a military historian named John Hamilton, the man to go to. He will describe some of the many military people who have lived and worked in the El Paso area over the centuries. And Melissa, thank you for that idea. That's a good idea.
Oh, I'm glad I got a few there. So also, we want to mention Keystone Heritage Park, which Vic Polis came out and did a wonderful, one of my first wine classes here in El Paso I took there with a few years back. And he did a great job. And Keystone Heritage Park is a great place to do programs like that. But we've been open to the public. We've been sticking through this insanity this last year. And I want to thank all the people who have come out to Keystone and hope to see more of you, because we're open from Tuesday through Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we're located at 4200 Donovan Drive in the Upper Valley. Our phone number is 915-584-0563. And also, I just want to thank you for your donations. That's the only way we can keep the park open. Thank you, because we don't get any help from the city, state, anybody else.
Okay, Ryan, you ready for another cut? Well, here comes cut six. And
ready.
Here it is. Next on the scene through the El Paso War, El Paso, was Colonel William Emery. He was a surveyor working on the border with Mexico. He also summed up the wine industry as he visited the El Paso area.
The promise was still tremendous through the 1800s. Colonel William Emery, who came through, described the wine industry as being somewhat neglected, but he said that he thought that the wines here conferred favorably with the richest Burgundies, but unfortunately he found that there was no control on consistency, and one wine would be good while the next one would be scarcely fit to drink. But he did say, and I quote, "In no part of the world does this luscious fruit flourish with greater luxuriance than in these regions when properly made." So while he was an excellent surveyor, His winemaking judgment is probably in question because he again said that at the present time there is no system followed, the people in this area are incapable of making good wine, and that we need to import people to make the wine in the Paso del Norte region. And I'm not sure where I fit in on that today, but I'm trying. And the only thing I would tell him is that I'm an amateur. There are professional winemakers. I remind myself rather frequently, I have to, that professionals made the Titanic. Noah was an amateur, and he made the Ark. So I give myself a little boost once in a while with that thought. But I have to tell you that in the 1850s, by the 1850s, all of that portion of El Paso south of San Antonio and San Francisco streets was cultivated in vineyards down through Juarez, obviously irrigated off the river. The first mayor of El Paso, Ben Dow, was in fact, his first job was to come to El Paso and supervise the vineyards on the Juarez side. So he was brought in by a Mexican aristocrat to take care of his vineyards. He became the first mayor of El Paso. There was a decline in the quality of the wines for some reason during that time. There's some reports coming out by a gentleman named J.R. Bartlett, a customs official out of Washington, who was sent down to try to help develop the wine business in this area, said that the wines that were coming out, in his words, were barely above mediocrity and produced headaches. And today, wine still produces headaches. What a surprise that is. There was a gentleman named Dr. Mariano Samaniego from Juarez who developed an interest in viticulture. He tried to bring in some French clones to grow in this area, but he discovered, as many people who have tried since then too, that French clones just do not do well in this area, and he failed in trying to bring in French wines to this area.
All right, here's to the grape history of El Paso. Smile at the camera here. You need to get some more in there.
Yeah.
So it goes here. Well, Ryan, your thoughts on that? Bold Emery, he was called, right?
Yeah, you know, he's known as Bold Emery. Before getting to the El Paso area, he was somewhat famous for recording the terrain, its people, and the ruins. And his maps actually helped open the Southern Immigrant Road to travel, and his published work introduced the Southwest American people to the need for the Gadsden Purchase. So that's before he got here. To the area.
I think he came in with the International Boundary and Water Commission, which at the time was just the International Boundary Commission back in that day. We'll have to ask Mark. Oh, by the way, Mark called up and wanted to know, you're going to Pepe's. I'm going to stop by for some takeout. We'll be good. But you and Bernie will make it?
Yep, Bernie and I are going to be there shortly because then we have to run to Keystone for a Boy Scout event.
You're not doing a wine? You could plant
some. I'll be the one in the back of the bottle.
You and the Boy Scouts, you'll be the back of the bottle.
Yeah, the boys will all be hanging out at my... No.
But you could go grow grapes over there.
We did have a grapevine some time back, but it was just the soil was not correct for it, and the watering wasn't correct. So we'll probably do that again, which probably Ryan could help us.
I was going to say, I know a guy.
Ryan, would you like to donate a couple of vines
Absolutely.
Out there?
I mean,
and we'll put your name on it.
One of the keys to producing a good wine in your region is knowing what grows well in your region. Some winemakers like to plant the wines they like or that they think will sell well.
Yeah.
But it's just so important to plant what does well here. And that's why we do Zinfandel as one of our specialties, because it loves the sun. It likes the drainage, doesn't need a lot of water. So that's such an important aspect of grape growing.
Well, and it's because our region has a lot of the same kind of growing lands as in France, southern France, and also in Italy, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So reasons, you know, like those areas, they have a wider range of microclimates and some different terrain that gives them an even bigger boost in their quality of wine. But when you think about it, you know, we're on similar lines of longitude with a lot of great winemaking places.
We got some comments we'll talk about after the break. people weighing in on wine. They want some wine.
Yeah.
I bet you we stirred up a lot of people drinking wine early. The bar's open.
Meet in the parking lot.
Yeah,
tailgate.
And, you know, Ryan will sell you a bottle today, so we'll talk about that as well. Back in a moment. The phone number would be
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Your health can't wait. Doctors say now more than ever is the time to guard your heart health.
I'm Dr. Mohamed Talib, cardiologist with El Paso Heart. Shortness of breath, chest pain or pressure, odd heartbeats, and swelling of your arms or legs are all symptoms of heart disease. El Paso Heart Center physicians are here to answer your questions and help protect your heart. Do not delay. Your safe care is our priority. To make an appointment, call 1-855-93-HEART. Again, that's 1-855-93-HEART.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help Now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
At Alert Chemicals, we strive to keep you, your business, and your loved ones safe. We have disinfectant wipes and aerosol spray in stock now. There are no minimums and no limits. Please give us a call at 915-207-2323. That's 915-207-2323. 207-2323 or visit AllureChemicals.com. Allure Chemicals is your local source for all the disinfecting products you need.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we come to that point in our program where we're going to talk about what's going on this week only in El Paso Inc.
Students received far more failing grades than a year ago amid remote learning, but EPISD trustees hope things will start looking up.
Also in the Inc., El Pasoans with many boxes and other recyclables should start getting relief soon.
An El Paso attorney has advice for businesses considering vaccine requirements for employees and customers.
El Paso's Business Journal is El Paso Inc. It's available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, Borderlands schools are getting ready to open, and the schools are having in-person learning during the pandemic. Vaccines that will be guarding against COVID-19 are not available yet for the kids. Las Cruces has been given the green light to vaccinate the men and women who come in contact with students, and Texas governors is calling on teachers to be vaccinated as well.
Join ABC 7 Extra host Saul Sines on ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights after ABC 7 at 10.
Are you going to talk about this stuff and what they're doing to prepare for the opening of the schools? That's a line right on the top of that. Life goes on, man. Listen, you know, what can you say? But you don't go to school.
No. No, I do. I continually go to school because I love history, so I'm always studying
but
and watching programs.
But you're not going to classes and touching people.
Actually, I do have a couple of classes I take.
Where do you go?
Oh, I go online, take them online.
But you're not like touching people in the COVID
thing. No, because I can do it when I'm working during the day, so it helps.
This is talking about students going into classes again, and it's going to be, they really need to because, I mean, can you imagine being a kid right now? I've watched the kids in my neighborhood. Like they don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, parents, it's hard for them to sit down and make them sit and do these things. It's not quite the same as having a teacher.
Well, we should all be quarantined at a winery.
Yeah, there you go.
I think so.
We wouldn't have any diseases because of all the alcohol.
Ryan Poulos, we got you on the phone here. We got your dad, Vic, by recording. And you ready for another one?
Let's do it.
Okay, cut seven. Here you go, Melissa.
Vineyards around El Paso disappeared in the early 1900s. Vic Poulos explains why.
I have to tell you that by the early 20th century, the vineyards in El Paso had sort of disappeared at that point. There was a lot of factors that I think contributed to the disappearance of the vineyards in the early 1900s in this area. Nature played a significant role. As many of you know, a few years ago in August here, the rains we had and the floods we had, they had intermittent periods of drought and floods during the early 1900s, which played a significant role in wiping out a tremendous amount of the vineyards in floods. In addition, the northern New Mexico and southern Colorado railroads had opened up, were taking the water off the river, depriving the citizens in this area of water, and that affected the ability to irrigate grapes in this area. And suddenly California jumped in the game, and when they started planting grapes in that wonderful microclimate there, they discovered that it was a lot easier with rainfall to take care of and grow grapes, and suddenly California leapt ahead with the development of grape growing and wines. But there was a flood in 1897 that I think everyone pretty much contributes to the biggest demise in the grape growing regions of this area. The last winery to close in the El Paso area was the Isleta Winery, which began in 1830, closed eventually after passing through some families in 1919. Closed in 1919. There's been several other wineries try in El Paso in this area. I know there's some other individuals who grow grapes in this area as well. And I have to say that the climate in this area, it does well for grape growing. Grapes, people don't realize this, but grapes don't like good, rich soil. Grapes like sand or rocky soil where there's good drainage. And the main thing is to have good drainage. If you take out the clays and bring in sands, the grapes will do well. And in fact, that's what I had to do. I took out all the dirt, brought in sand from the river, and planted grapes, 10 acres of grapes that don't strictly sand, and they've done well.
So, Ryan, how close to the surface is your water table there at Zin Valle?
You know what? That's a good question I need to refresh myself on, but I think it's a couple hundred feet.
Oh, really? 100 feet?
Yeah, different areas, it's at different levels.
So your drainage is pretty good then?
It is, yes.
But also, you brought in the sand.
It was a huge endeavor, but as I mentioned before, completely and totally worth it for the quality of grapes we're getting from it.
Well, how do you get sand out of the river? Isn't that a federal property?
You know, that's a good question. You'll have to track down my dad on that one before I incriminate myself.
Middle of the night, he's out there with a shovel.
It was a property, I believe, that was where we were able to do that, and not literally maybe right inside the Rio Grande, but maybe nearby.
Well, when you go drive across one of those bridges and look at the Rio Grande, it looks like sand. I mean, that's not mud.
It is sand.
That's not caliche. That's actually
Well, it has
sand.
A caliche base. It has a caliche base below the sand. Because I live right next to it. So trust me, I know there's caliche.
You're a caliche expert. Yes. Okay. Interesting stuff there. We need to take another break here and come back and talk. We've got one more cut to go. And what we're doing, we're talking with Ryan Poulos about stuff going on in his world of Zin Valle Vineyard in the far west part of the county. And his dad is by recording. We recorded him 10 years ago at an event in San Elizario, an all-day conference, several-day conference, actually, and he was talking about the wine history of El Paso. So we're clipping him up and putting him in here, and Ryan and I and Melissa are talking about him, seeing what we can deal with all that. And it's an interesting wine. And we do all kinds of El Paso history on this show.
I had somebody message me on my phone that said, hey, we need to do a remote out at Zin Valle.
Well, yeah.
When everything gets better, come out. I said, a lot of people will show up for that one.
We just start at 10, and it's open-ended. We'll be still there at 5.
You never can
tell. Got one more clip. Yeah, well, we can do that. So you have to clear your COVID stuff, and everybody, we got to get that all figured out. But in the meantime, we'll take another break. Call us if you think you should. Otherwise,
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-8888. 1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
For victims of drunk and drug driving, our grief is unique. But you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call our 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MAD.org.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money. Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to growwealthsafely.com. That's growwealthsafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. Growwealthsafely.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'm done.
Okay, you done?
I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm going to go get another bottle of wine.
Have another drink. We had
almost
a caller
12 somewhere
off the air that wanted to know if a Bergenowski wine store in the 1960s near, North Loop, or what was that? North Loop. I wouldn't know. I doubt Ryan would know, but we throw that out there. Somebody else might know. You want to call us up. Bergenowski Wine Store. How about that?
Yeah, and I want to mention about Facebook. Well, we got some more people around there. Beatty Burdett, she's a follower, and a lot of other great people that are posting and saying some fun things here. But I want to point out that if you follow our Facebook page, you click on the follow our page, you'll hear about notifications that are posted on our Facebook page, and also you can turn on the live link that'll hopefully let you, will let you know when the live show is coming on. But, get in touch with us, like us, follow us. We'd love to have you a part of the show.
It's interesting. We had last week we had El Paso, and there were over
21,000
people saw the promo, and there's been about 7,000 looked at the show after the fact. So don't forget, since we're now archiving on Facebook, you can go back and look at all the programs back to November 21st. The first one we did was with our tribute to Leon Metz. And so you can go back all the way to there. Ryan, we got a lot to do here, Liette, and there's one more cut to go. Any thoughts before we get into that?
No, not at all. Just wanted to mention, if you want to come visit us at Zen Valle, we're open Thursday to Sunday from noon to 5, and we pride ourselves on having a casual, fun environment where you can learn more about wine. So just follow us, visit us.
What's your phone number out there?
Our phone number out here is 915-877-4544, and, of course, our website is zenvalle.com.
Do you ship by any chance?
We do. So we take a few months off in the summer from shipping as the heat can have a bad impact on the wine. But other than that, we do ship for just an additional fee. All of that's on our website.
Yay!
All right, here we go to Cut 8. Vic describes the few grape-growing places in El Paso and Las Cruces in the area. Best was back 10 years ago. He also describes some of the wines produced at Zen Valle.
So I'm sorry there's not a lot more on the history of grapes in this area. There's a little resurgence along the Highway 28 corridor. People are planting grapes. There's four wineries now, four different people trying to grow grapes. Lavinia has almost 30 acres of grapes. I have 10. There's a couple of others up around Las Cruces that are growing grapes, and it makes for a nice little day trip if you come out. I want to tell you a little bit about the wines that I brought today, because what I brought today, I have 14 different wines at my winery. Some of the grapes I bring in from California, because our growing season here is about 100 days. It's so hot. It does cool down at night, but it's so hot during the day, the grapes ripen. I love that sound. The grapes ripen very quickly, but in California, we harvest here in August. California, they harvest in October. So that tells you a little bit of difference about the length of the growing season. And that's why the grapes in California are a little fuller, a little better, because they have a lot more hang time on the vine, and they just become much more luscious. But grapes do grow well here, but you have to find the right varietals that work. I brought the two wines that I think are most three today, actually, that are most representative of the grapes that were grown in the 1800s here at that time. The red wine that you have there is actually a Zinfandel. It's not a Mission grape, but it's a Zinfandel that is fairly close in its structure to that of the Mission grape. It's a dark red grape. It's high in alcohol. It ripens very unevenly, and it's a little hard to take care of in the winemaking process, but that is a red Zinfandel, and if you'll see the bottles, we put the mountains of El Paso, the star of the mountain of El Paso on it, and we call it Rising Star, and that is sort of our signature grape. The other grape that I'd like for you to try, if you can, I have a grape that I brought in from Italy. It's called Malvasia Bianca. It's a white varietal. It grows very well in the hotter regions of Italy, so I tried it here, and it's done remarkably well in this climate. There is a very large vineyard up around Deming, New Mexico, where they're growing the Malvasia Bianca as well. It's a little sweet, but it grows very well. And then I have a third wine here called Gewürztraminer, which you probably have heard of from Germany, but it actually grows real well here too. And I think what we'll do is we'll come around to your tables and let you try them and just try the grapes. Again, you're welcome to come out. We have free wine tasting at the winery. And try all the different grapes. And I would encourage you to take your time and go up the Don Juan de Onorte Trail there and try the grapes that are coming back and being grown. So, Danielle, good luck. If you want to come out sometime, I can show you that grape growing is a year-round venture. It all winter you're pruning, taking care of the plants, making sure that the bugs haven't done a lot of damage and the things in the sand haven't done a lot of damage. Then comes spring, and as you probably know, grapes only grow on new wood. You have to prune back grapes just like you do roses every year. And once you prune them back, they start again about this time of year, flowering, growing again. Then you spend the summer taking care of the vines that grow up. You keep them pushed up. And then again, you have the problems with bugs and things to take care of through the summer. And then comes harvest in August and September, and time to make the wine. So it's a very
wonderful process is something that this town needs, and I would encourage everybody to come out and try the wands. Thank you for your time.
Now that was Vic Poulos down there in San Nazario 10 years ago at a conference we recorded. And we have on the phone live here his son, Ryan, who now runs Zinvalle, because his dad, your dad took off, well, he still lives here, but he's now running a vineyard in Italy, you said.
He is with some additional business partners as well. So we're exclusively bringing those wines also in our tasting room, which once we're doing tastings, you'll be able to try, but they are available for purchase. And there's a lot of fun historical stories about that winery as well.
We got about a minute and a half left. What do you want to talk about? You got some more wineries up the street there that you want to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. So my father, I believe he mentioned there were four wineries at the time 10 years ago. There's at least eight now, but there's probably several more that I'm missing. But some of the key wineries of our area outside of Zimbabwe include Lavinia, Mesa Vista Winery, Sombra Antigua. And as you get a little closer to Old Mesilla and Las Cruces, we have Rio Grande Winery, Les Combs, and Luna Rosa. We work a lot with these folks. We don't consider ourselves competitors, really. We all want more people to take the short drive from El Paso and enjoy their day on the entire route. And the more, the merrier for us.
Well, it's an interesting world here in El Paso. I looked online, and I know that the Tigua Inc. actually was getting into business of wine a few years ago, but I couldn't verify whether they're still doing that. But that's another crowd down there on the Mission Trail who may be actually getting involved as well. So there's a lot going on, but it's a lot. It stands on the history. At one point, the wine history of El Paso in the region, in the New World, this area exported more wine than anywhere else. So that's something to remember. That's kind of why we did it on the history show, and it was just something fun to do anyway. Ryan, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh yeah.
And again, where are you going to be? What's your phone number out there? How to get a hold of you?
Phone number is 915-877-4544, and we're open every weekend, Thursday to Sunday, noon to 5. We actually have a little live music today with Dusty Lowe, so
come out
and say hi, and we'd love to show you around.
Fair enough. Ryan, thanks a lot for being with us. Thank you, Dad, for showing up by recording. Andrew Polk in the control room, thank you much. Melissa Sargent, next week?
Next week we'll be here.
You're going to bring Bernie back next week.
That's right. I'll drag him along.
Drag him here. We'll talk.
Just drag him
we'll
in.
Talk history of Sunset
Good
Heights.
Good way to keep an eye
Everyone
on
else, take a look at Facebook. We got the archive ready to go. See you next week. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.